From a secret location in room 100 of 540 Jack Gibbs Boulevard, this is Craft. I'm your host, Doug Dangler.
Stephen Rowley is the author of 5 books, including Lily and the Octopus, the editor, and 2021's The Gunkle. His work has been published in 20 languages. He is also a finalist for the 2026 Thurber Prize for American Humor and Writing. Welcome to Craft, Stephen Rowley.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, congratulations on being a finalist for the Thurber Prize. Tell me about how you found out that you were on the list.
Well, it's a prize that I won previously,
right,
for my book, The Gunkle. And when I won that award, I was halfway through writing this sequel, The Gunkle Abroad. I returned home from Columbus with not only an award in my suitcase, but also heavy expectations on my shoulders all of a sudden. I never thought that this follow-up could be as funny. And then there were days when I worried that it might be too funny, and which isn't to pat myself on the back, but to say that I was perhaps chasing jokes at the expense of the other ingredients that made the first book so magical. I do think the Thurber Prize is judged not only, not by a gross tonnage of jokes, let's say, but by what you use humor to say.
Right.
And so I just came home and concentrated on writing the best book that I could. And I was shocked to learn that not only was I first a semifinalist for this year's award, but then I was very happy to receive the news at home that I was a finalist and would be returning to Columbus this year.
Well, everybody wants to come back to Columbus. I think that that's, you know, pretty obvious. If you were here today, you would have seen us go from, I think, 60-something yesterday to low to mid-30s today. So there's well, nothing that brings people in.
Keep me on my toes.
Who was the first person you called when you got the news either time? What's your go-to to celebrate?
I think that I actually called my agent first. We've been on a long sort of 12-year journey together. And it was such a surprise the first time when I was not only nominated, but then won, that we didn't think lightning could strike twice. And so he's been a real sort of partner in this journey. So he was one of the first that I shared the news with.
Excellent. Okay. And like you said, you won the 2023 prize for The Gunkle. What about your writing do you think appeals to the Thurber Prize folks? How would you analyze your own stuff?
Oh, you're putting me in the hot seat now. Well, I think it's the balance of heart and humor. And it's something that I work very hard to get just right. There's a final pass I do whenever I write something that is almost surgical in nature. I work very hard to balance humor. I'm often writing about grief and heartache, but to explore those themes by using a humorous lens. And so the last draft that I ever do of anything that I write is looking at that balance. If you go one joke too far in a scene, sometimes it can deflate your message, what you're trying to say. And conversely, if you go too long writing about something dark or sad without giving the reader the opportunity to take a breath with a joke, it can perhaps color your work too darkly. And so I think it's that balance between both humor and heart and resilience that makes my work hopefully special.
So you mentioned the balance between heart and hopefulness. How often do you, I mean, I can see cutting a joke. That makes sense. How do you control for the other? There's a quote by Steve Martin in one of his movies saying, what are we, the Schmaltz family? Or I think Father of the Bride. Right. Is the thing. When you talk about balance, what is that for you that you look at it and say, oh, I may be too emotional here, which is for me the harder thing to pick out than I'm doing too many jokes?
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned Steve Martin because I do think it's something that I learned. It's a craft that I learned from the movies. I was talking about how some of my favorite comedies are Terms of Endearment, the film, the Larry McMurtry novel is very different, or Beaches or Steel Magnolias or these movies that I grew up watching with my mom. And I was telling someone, these are my favorite comedies. And they're like, oh, you mean the movie where the daughter dies or the mother dies or the best friend dies? Like, are you kidding me? These are your favorite comedies? But to me, they were always very funny. And I picture Steve Martin and Father of the Bride there. They're that sort of balance of life is going on and changing in ways that may seem overwhelming, but humor is always that tool that gets us through. So you're right. It's easy to cut a joke. I think of the old Coco Chanel line too, where she advised women to take one look in the mirror before leaving the house and take one thing off. It's easy to cut a joke, although no one likes killing their darlings. But knowing when to add a joke, because it's such a symbol of our resilience, of our ability to pick ourselves up and move on, even in hard times. And that sometimes that humor changes. It can be self-depreciating. It can be dark. It can be gallows humor. But the humor has always been the way through.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I love humor and humorous books, and I'm a huge fan of the Columbus Public Library. So that's generally my first stop if I'm not sure about something. Once I discover something I like, I'll buy books. But there are so many times, and I don't know if this is something that you've noticed in looking for other people who write humor, you go to the library and you say, I want a humor book. And, you know, the category is very large, I think. The actual books that get listed under that are really small. Mm-hmm. And I've always been fascinated by the idea of why isn't humor more widely accepted, more widely pushed, more widely praised in the same ways, like you mentioned the movie with Shirley MacLaine.
Terms of Endearment.
Yeah. Terms of Endearment. You're right. I mean, there is a death in there of a major character. It's very depressing. And, you know, you're right. I'm thinking, well, that's never going to show up under humor. So how do you, what is your response to seeing so much of humor that is, oh, this is a humorous book, but it's an adventure book or something like that, where the genre seems to be less respected or less listed than I might think? Because I agree with you. I think humor is absolutely vital. And I've always felt better after reading a humorous book than watching somebody die.
Yeah, we're talking soon after the Oscar award ceremony too. And I always think like comedic performances are not always rewarded to the same degree that dramatic performances are. But I do think that comedy is harder. As much as we type LOL in our daily life when texting someone, how often are we actually laughing out loud? We're often stone-faced while typing that back to someone. So to move somebody to a physical laugh, especially from the written word, I think is an undervalued skill. It's really difficult. But I think humor at its base level, or this is how I think of it anyway, humor is a mode of engagement with the truth. And it's nothing more than that. So the things that move you the most, or the things that make you remember something that you've read, is because it's saying something so universal about the world that we're living in that you can't help recognize it as truth. And that's what often moves us to laugh. And so I think of humor that way, that I'm trying to say something true about the human condition, and recognizing that truth is what makes us laugh.
Okay. That's a very good explanation. It's better than when Sigmund Freud did his analysis of humor and you realize there's nothing funny in the world and everything's terrible.
Yeah. It's a tough thing to analyze, truly, because once you start analyzing comedy, you're taking the fun out of it. The laugh often comes from a surprise, too, right? Like you're expecting one thing and something else entirely happens and you're taken by surprise. And so I've done some lecturing on comedic writing. I've done some teaching on comedic writing. And I always say, we're going to talk about the rules. We're going to talk about different formats. But then I want you to forget everything we talk about. Because if comedy feels labored, that's the surest way to take the fun out of it.
Right. Yeah. The analysis I've seen of humor, that's generally what happens. And at the end of it, you're really wondering why anybody tries. But which is funny because I haven't seen an analysis of tragedy or something like that, that it doesn't have the same impact. You don't laugh at the end of an analysis of tragedy, and it doesn't seem like you've taken apart tragedy in the way that you can talk about Hamlet all you want, and you're not really going to impact the reaction to the sadness of the story. But I get what you're saying about humor being very related to the surprise of it. So
yeah, well, talk about surprise. God, a decade or two decades ago, probably now, Steve Coogan did a movie, Hamlet 2. Just that title alone is enough to make one laugh. And so, you know, even about the most sort of staid and serious of tragedies, there is a way to approach it humorously. Ionesco also wrote a play called Macbeth, which is sort of a spoof of Macbeth and is one of the funniest things you could ever see performed on the stage. So there's always a way to look at even classic story structure with a humorous lens and to take some of the seriousness out of something.
Steve Rowley, thank you very much for talking to me today. Congratulations again on being a finalist for the second time, and we'll find out if you're the recipient of it. Congratulations and best of luck on all your writing and all the cool stuff that you're doing.
Thank you. And I'm thrilled to be with this crop of nominees and fellow finalists too. But who doesn't love bookends? So if I brought it home again, it would have a proud place on my shelf.
Yeah, well, it needs to be on the one behind you that you've got all the other wonderful things up. But, you know, I suppose it might also end up on the mantle in the family room or someplace more public. Or are you the kind that puts your awards somewhere super safe, like a bank deposit box?
No. Listen, I will brag about them day and night. So, and nor am I the person who puts their Academy Award in the guest powder room either. So on the back of the toilet tank. So they'll have a proud place on my shelf.
Okay. Well, congratulations and best of luck as you move forward in the writing.
Thank you.
For more information from my guests, visit www.craftheshow.com. Until next time, be creative.